My name's Tracy Molina. I was born in Los Angeles County, where the Mexican American side of my family's from. When I was 5, we moved to a small logging community called Logsdon, Oregon. It only has like 60 people population. The next town over 4 miles later is 1,000 people. And I first started coming to Portland. I used to make pottery. One of my first jobs as a little kid was to make pottery. So some of the pottery was sold here in Saturday Market. The community I grew up in is the Siletz Tribal Community, and they had just gotten restored. They just got their federal recognition back. It was terminated in the 1950s, and then they just had got it back in the late 70s. So there's a big cultural resurgence there, and I got a benefit a lot from that. Like a lot of the programs that Trump's destroying, one of them's Indian education. It came alive the year I was born, and I got to benefit from it. My kids got to benefit from that program. So I learned first started learning like a little bit of decolonizing from that. Even though my people are from Mexico, they would still, some of the elders would still say, that they're still Native people, they're still Indigenous people. You're not our kind of Indian, you're Mexican kind of Indian or whatever. That's just how the old people talked, but. So yeah, I got a lot of benefits from living there. I was involved in sports there. And then I went into the military at 17 years old from there. I flew out of Portland. Like when I got orders to go to a combat zone, I flew out of Portland to go there in 1990. 1990, early 1991. My first protests were actually right to life protests with my parents when I was a little kid. And then I went to college and learned some things and opened my mind up. And my next protests were always for the farm workers. Because I was in the first Oregon ethnic dance group called Mexica Theawi, and we were always invited to, engage and sticking up for the farm workers, however we could, and so we did. And I was introduced to it that way. And then also we would advocate and protest for the Zapatistas in Portland at the Mexican consulate office. But I didn't move to Portland until like 2018, I think it was 2019. I had my first arrest here in 2018, protesting the Proud Boys, and it was a arrest that was broadcasted on the news here, so some people are familiar with it. And then, after that, I ended up moving here because all my plans, that arrest cut off my plans for something else, so then I just moved to Portland, and I've been here ever since.
All right, and that was the August 4th,
Yeah,
2018.
August 4th.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the one, I believe. That's the same protest where they found the sniper's nest of Proud Boys, but they had no problem with it. The police had no problem with it. Or no one was arrested or shamed or anything from it.
And so I wanted to talk a little about in 2021, there was a incident in Northwest Portland at the Cafe Nell involving Ted Wheeler and yourself and a few other folks kind of protesting his presence there. Can you talk to me a little bit about how that went?
So I
Do you
heard
want to?
that he was there and I had an ability to get there quickly. I didn't know any other protesters were going to be there, and I don't know anyone who was there. I just saw him. And I had met him in June of 2020 because he invited me to his office. One of the Afro-Indigenous activists of Portland who helped organize some of the first big marches for George Floyd. I forgot her name, but anyway, she invited me there as part of this, like, I don't know what, delegation to Ted Wheeler. I don't know what it was. It was they just asked us to tell them what we were experiencing, and so we were talking about how the violence was way too much. Like what we have seen, like I've been a protester for a long time, so the violence was like way off the charts, It was beyond what I saw at Standing Rock. I mean, the injuries at Standing Rock were worse, but because I knew how bad those injuries could get, I knew that what they were doing was so dangerous that we needed to say something. We needed to speak up and say something. I was complaining about a cop hitting me in the stomach with a gun because he had, and I wasn't even at the protest. I was trying to help friends get home. I was trying to help evacuate wounded people. One was a young pregnant mother. Like, that's what I was doing when I got hit in the stomach with the gun. So I thought, and it was loaded. It was a grenade launcher. Like, it's not a safe thing to do to someone. And I thought it was wrong. I ended up leaving that meeting early because he was very disrespectful to the people, mostly to the mothers who showed up, and everyone was a person of color. Everyone was a person of color there. And so I just could tell that he was really insincere and wasn't going to do anything. Like, he pretty much said to me that there was nothing that he could do about them hitting us with guns in the stomach, which I thought was insane. Like, if we're not even at a protest and we're just standing on the side of the road and we're doing nothing, I don't think we deserve to be assaulted. So when I saw him again in the restaurant, I was saying, and you could hear me on some of the videos, I was like, "Do you remember me? I told you it was going to get worse. It got way, way worse." I was saying, and you can hear me on the video also talking about Ted Wheeler approves cops hitting women in the stomach with guns. Like, that's what I was saying in the video. I really wish the other people, especially the ones who say things that we hear all the time, "We already know, quit your job. We already know you're a fascist. We already know all those things." But, like, because the video could have been focused on what I was saying, but you can't really hear me over the other people screaming, or whatever. But I found it very interesting that he accused me of assault. And on the way out, I turned around because he started accusing someone else of assault. And it was another person, a woman of color who kind of looked like me, but was a lot shorter and a lot younger. So then I was like, this guy doesn't even know, like, what is this guy even doing? I was very, very angry that he didn't care about that we warned him this much violence was going to happen from our experience, and that he didn't care and did nothing about it, and it exploded and exploded, and the violence just got worse and worse. So yeah, I was yelling to him about that. I was really surprised though that he claimed assault. I guess, I don't know if he went back on it, on that claim or not, but I knew the definition I knew what the legal definition of assault was, and I knew I did not do that, so I knew I was pretty safe on that. But what bothered me was he went to like every media outlet in Portland, Oregon, and repeated Andy No, straight up Andy No propaganda. Like, you could take what Ted Wheeler said out of the newspaper about me and link it exactly to what Andy No says, exactly what the police union would say. And it was completely inaccurate information. And I was never, not one media outlet asked, like, "Do you have a comment? Can we get your opinion on this? Or what's your side of the story?" None of that. It was just all social justice activist punches Ted Wheeler. That was all I heard. That's all my parents heard. That's all everyone heard. And if I would have known how powerful he was and how powerful white millionaires are here, I would have never went to the meeting, and I would have shut up. I would have said nothing.
Just to be clear, you're saying there was no physical contact at all?
He turned his back to me and I tapped him on the shoulder. That was it.
When did the were you spoken to by Officer Lay and Ensley?
Officer Lay was an incident in 2020 where he made up and fabricated evidence in order to arrest me, and some really bad things happened during that arrest. So bad that Portland police destroyed that video they made of what they were doing. Because I tried to get it as discovery, and they just keep saying that video doesn't exist, but we have video and pictures of the cop videotaping me. So we know that was being done. According to the Portland police, the video doesn't exist, and I don't know why.
What was the date of that again? Sorry.
It was 1 week after Trump said, tweeted my name and to lock us all up that we were animals. It was after that, but I'm not sure. It was in the fall for sure. It was in the fall of 2020.
And I'm curious what your experience was like dealing with the Portland Police Bureau around that incident and the video being destroyed. Did you file any kind of complaint or
Well,
just?
I did it. I never filed complaints because I was told a long time ago when I first started to not file complaints because unless you were ready to deal with retaliation from them and from the union. So I never filed a complaint because I was always too afraid to. But then last year, I just filed a complaint on everything that really, I filed a complaint on illegal activity that the police were doing, basically, because what he did was fabricate evidence. And since there was video of the arrest from three different angles, you could obviously tell that he lied because we have videos from three different angles showing that he lied. And what they did afterwards, it was like you can see him in the video when he charges after me. You can see he's responding to my voice and not me. And that I had that experience a lot in 2020. People didn't know me, but they knew my smart ass voice from videos that got uploaded of me filming the cops doing stuff. But it was very abusive. And I mean, I'll just say this about the Portland police. Like, most of the time, they weren't doing unlawful assaults. I would say, like 90% of the time with me, only with me, I'm talking about. But there have been times that they have crossed the line into what is unlawful, not just unethical police behavior, but unlawful behavior. And so I've had experiences with them that were respectful and no police brutality and no unlawful behavior. And so I'm not even one of those people that just hate all of them. I just don't like being kidnapped. I don't like being now everyone know now thank God my lawyer did postpone this trial because now everyone knows that's done. But before I would sound like a crazy person, right? Like, oh, they just made up things and literally kidnapped me away from my child, But now everybody knows they do that they will lie, that they will say you're a gang member when you're not, that they will do whatever they want. And now people know that's true. So what happened to me though now is that me filing those complaints made Nathan Vasquez go back 2 years looking through my arrest, and he found something, I don't know, another false claim of a cop to hit me with a felony arrest on assaulting a police officer charge 2 years later. And that's Katrina Ensley, who was really mad that I was making art with chalk and whatever, she lied and said it wasn't chalk. She said it was a special kind of paint that's very difficult to remove, that requires professional removal so that the charges would stick. When she came after me, she like pinched her finger or something. I don't know what, but it was 2 years ago. And Nathan Vasquez just hit me with a felony. He went back to a lot of my cases and just hit me with felonies. Like one of the cases he hit me with a felony on is for writing kidnapping is wrong in chalk at the Portland police station. I wrote kidnapping is wrong because I was like really upset, pretty much in a mental health crisis, and I just wrote kidnapping is wrong. And so that's one actually something I'm going to court for April 14th.
The report that Ensley made, that was related to, allegedly assaulting a police officer with, and
Right. So now, well, first I was arrested for just the vandalism for drawing with the chalk, and then Nathan Vasquez 2 years later just like bumped up the charges to a lot more. But it was Earth Day. The day for Katrina Ensley was Earth Day 2 years ago, end of April. And yeah, she made a lot of false statements on her police report. She was making what I would consider racist statements, and you could even get the flavor of her racism in the police report because I believe she says Native American two or three times. And then she also discloses and documents in her police report that she put all my Native American medicine in the incinerator because she didn't know what it was, so she destroyed all of it. And which
wow.
is that's against federal law. You can't do that. It's against my First Amendment rights to destroy my religious property. It's against the American Indian Religious Freedom Act to destroy a Native person's cultural medicine. That's not illegal. It's against another federal law called, I don't know, some federal law they made after 9/11 when they started really harassing Muslims really bad for their religion. Like they made another law about we deserve religious freedom or whatever. We deserve the right to practice our religion and freedom. So that's another federal law. But yeah, she broke all those laws. And all I was doing, it was Earth Day, and all I was doing was, it's also Tortuguita's birthday, who is the first like indigenous land defender to be unalived by police while protecting land unarmed, and so I wanted to do just pay tribute to that person, but mostly his mom, because the Tortuguita is the same age as my son. And so I was just really feeling for her that I was trying to imagine 57 holes in my son and how hard that would be. And so I wanted to make 57 flowers because, like in our culture, when something's done like that to you, it's called a flowery death. It's like, so I wanted to make 57 flowers and Feliz cumpleaños. Anyways, I was making that art with chalk and on a display window that hasn't been used in 3 to 5 years. They're starting to use it now. Surprise. But yeah, it was just like one of the display windows off to the side that no one even uses. And when I was in this kind of chalk I'm using is easier to remove than sidewalk chalk. It's the kind that moms use to put my kids number 13 on the go team on their cars. That wipes off without soap or water. You can just literally wipe it off like dust. Like if somebody will wash me on your car and you had dust, that's how easy it is to remove. Just one swipe and it removes it. It's easier to remove than sidewalk chalk. But anyways, I even tried to use to the cops. I was saying, you guys should understand how I feel. You understand how I feel. And I was telling them about how I was in the military. I go, I know what it's like when somebody in your unit dies, even if you're not friends with them, you feel it. And so there was a cop killed that week. I can't remember where, but I was telling them, I know you guys felt that. I bet you guys felt that. And then they told me there's nothing we can do about it because she's the supervisor. Because I was saying, you guys should let me go, man. I'm not hurting anyone. I'm not damaging anything. I'm just doing this. I go, I see you guys ignore everyone's crazy every day around downtown Portland, but you can't ignore my crazy for 5 minutes, Anyways, yeah, that's what I'm going on trial for, and hopefully this month.
And you said that's scheduled for the 14th.
The call for the trial is scheduled for 14th. I'm told that there's a trial for the 15th and 16th, but I've been told that every month for over a year. So I don't know. Every month they say it's a trial, then every month it doesn't happen. So I don't know if it's going to happen or not. But the 14th is going to happen no matter what.
Did the charges get escalated by Vasquez when he was like after he took office as DA, or was that still when he was an ADA?
No, it was after he became DA. He's doing a lot of really unethical things. I mean, I don't know if you've seen the news report of two women convicted of the Portland State University protest for Palestine. Okay, right. So on the news, they're showing B-roll of the library, but these women's arrests, they were social workers doing a sit-in 1 month later in a different building that had no property damage. So just to destroy them and to make it look like Nathan Vasquez is doing something about the library, I mean, that should be illegal. I can't even believe they could do that. Two protests, 1 month apart, one with damage, one with no damage. Like it's unbelievable that they're allowed to bring two separate incidents 30 days apart together. It's just unbelievable that they can do that. And the reason why he went harder on them was because all the other library cases fell apart. I don't know if you've heard, but a lot of the other cases fell apart. And that's the thing that Mike Schmidt was always trying to say. All my arrests in 2020, I would challenge someone to find one where I was actually doing something illegal. I was doing nothing but filming them. But to Ted Wheeler and liberals, it looked like I was rioting every day. I was just rioting all the time, and no one could stop me from doing all these riots when really all I was ever doing was filming what the police were doing and
And
laughing at them sometimes.
that really is kind of how you are painted in the media, like what kind of comes up first if somebody is looking you up. And if you're okay to talk about it, how does that affect your day-to-day life?
It has a horrible effect. It has a horrible effect because if you get labeled like violent or anything like that, then all the white liberals will withdraw support from you. Like that happened to me in Canada once too, and it was even the cops ruled that what I did was self-defense, but still the liberals were like, "Well, we just can't have any violence," and I was just protecting people who were getting run over. But the worst of this is the worst effect it's had on me is. Portland's, I live close to downtown. I mean, I walk around here a lot. I see what happens, you know. I have empathy for all sides. I mean, this is not an easy thing, you know, to deal with everything that everyone has to deal with in Portland. It's not easy. So one night I was up, so I see a lot of insane things because I live close to downtown. So one night I went for a walk because I couldn't sleep. Some protesters in Canada had gotten, you know, hit with a, like, you know, people really like to run protesters over now. And so I saw an incident in Canada that reminded me of when I survived, and I went for a walk because I couldn't sleep. And when I go for a walk, I come up on somebody changing their tire, and I walk in over them to help them. But right when I start walking towards them, they start getting attacked by someone with a weapon. And I was just immediately so afraid, I just ran away. And then the person that was the attacker even started coming after me because I caught their eye when I ran across the street. And that gave the victim enough time to call 911, or that's what I'm assuming that's when they call 911. And so I stuck around and waited for the police, and then after a while walked back over there. But then I was taken in at gunpoint and was threatened. They were threatened to pull the trigger a lot. This is all on body camera, but no one can get the body camera, but whatever, I surrender, and they put me in the back of the car, and I see the cops looking through my protest arrests on their laptop. And I'm like, man, this doesn't have anything to do with the protest. I was like, I just live right there. I go, I'm just going for a walk. But I was held in interrogation for hours and hours and hours and refused water, refused medical care. I was never uncuffed, even though I was in an isolation interrogation cell. I begged to go to jail because I knew in jail at least I can get my cuffs off and some water and some medicine. My blood pressure was like off the charts. But they were enjoying getting their revenge. And so I just pretty much surrendered to it all. I was like, there's nothing I can do but pray that they aren't framing me, because I was starting to get afraid that they were going to frame me that they were going to frame me for carjacking. And I was really afraid that they were going to arrest me for carjacking, because then, just like the protest that I got arrested for something I didn't do, then for the rest of my life, it would be like, I'm a carjacker. You know, I'm sitting in the back of the car begging them to be honest cops because I don't want to be known as a carjacker just because I fucking witnessed one and did the right thing. I could have turned around and went the other way and abandoned that victim, but I didn't. A lot of my arrests and 2020 were for doing stupid shit like that. Like, I would see someone, like, one time I saw this drunk, stupid kid, teenager. He's about ready to get mowed over and shot to shit by cops. So I just ran over there and grabbed him and pulled him back. And then I got arrested for doing that. All those arrests, I mean, I could go, they're all on video.
Yeah. If I wanted to jump back really quick, you mentioned video. The Ken Lay incident, is the video you mentioned, is that like publicly available?
You could find it. You could find several versions of it by just, I think, Google searching it. Alyssa Azar has the most close up clear quality video, and but there's other video out there of the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah, it's funny. The police, okay, so the city, I filed an official complaint on it, and the city sent me back a letter, you know, saying pretty much they didn't see anything, you know, like nothing wrong happened. And they even state in the report that I was dragging my feet. And I was like, you can clearly see in the other video, I wasn't dragging my feet. Another cop had my feet on his nightstick and then yanked them back. They're trying to say that I was strong enough to yank two cops back, and that's why I was slammed down on my face. When on the video, you can see a cop's nightstick pulling. Two cops are pulling me one way, and him and his nightstick are pulling me a different way. And I ended up getting my face slammed into the ground for that arrest. But yeah, it just sucks that the city can't even just at least be honest. Like, can we just at least be honest with the evidence? You know, it's just gross. And I regret making the complaints because I don't think because Nathan Vasquez didn't come after me until I made the complaints.
Were the complaints made with independent police review? Okay.
I have the numbers they gave.
Did that complaint then you said has been quote unquote resolved?
Yeah, resolved in the police's favor. They didn't look at he didn't they didn't look at any of the evidence. It was a waste of my time and actually probably detrimental because it got charges added. It got two felonies added to my cases. And the one of the cases where I wrote kidnapping is wrong, I also that day, and I can admit this because you are allowed to break the law to save a life. And I knew that people were going to die in the jail because one, I was a corrections officer for a year. I got trained as a corrections officer, worked in a high security prison. I never saw any kind of abuse that what the jail was doing. And I saw a lot of dangerous behavior by the jail. And I also knew that it was very dangerous because I worked in an inpatient psych unit before and have a master's degree in social work. And so I could tell what they were doing was going to result in death for sure. And no one would listen to me. I was just a crazy person. So I set the alarm off and I told the cops that responded why I was setting it off because people were going to die. And then 5 people died. Well, 60 days, 4 or 5 people died in 60 days after I did that.
And you're referring to the kind of spate of deaths in like 2023,
Yeah,
2024.
right. Because when, right, I saw, well, every time I went to jail, I would see dangerous, you know, them doing dangerous behavior that could result, that was lethally dangerous. I knew that what they were doing would cause a death for eventually it would cause a death. I knew for sure.
Could you tell me a little bit more about the alarm incident? Like
Okay,
what led up to that?
so I'm just desperate for anyone to please God listen to what I'm saying, you know, about what's going on in the jail. I mean, it's just such an easy, well, to me, it seems it would be like an easy fix to save people's lives. If you walk into the garage at the jail, it will set an alarm off. And so I just walked in there enough to set the alarm off.
This is at MCDC.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I even recorded it because I'm saying on there, when he comes down to get me out of there, I'm saying, like, you've got to do something about all the abuse that's going on there. Why don't you care about what's happening to people in there? And I
Is
know, like, the house, if that place was on fire, and we were trying to save people on the inside, like we would be allowed to break down the door or set the alarm off to let them know, hey, people are in there and they're, you know, they potentially could die. So I knew that's you can that's an actual legal argument. So for him to charge me for a felony for it is ridiculous, especially when so many people died afterwards, you know. And I will say, like, I don't know the new sheriff's name, but I could tell as soon as she came on board, I saw immediate safety in the jail improve. I saw immediate cleanliness in the jail improve, and I saw less abuse. Like,
you
I never got attacked in the jail after she was put on. All the attacks, because I would get attacked in there because the guards would believe the propaganda about me that I'm just some wild anarchist rioter that needs to get put in their place. And so a lot of jail guard Trump supporters, you know, believed it was their place to put me to beat the crap out of me.
This
But
is guards doing this.
guards, yeah, guards.
Okay.
There were guards arrested too. It's not like that's another thing. It was like, yeah, you could say I'm crazy and I'm saying all this shit because I'm crazy, but you could also go look up that guards have been arrested and found guilty for their crimes in that jail for hurting people, for purposely assaulting people. They just didn't investigate any protesters' cases. They only investigated people that were snitches for the feds who got beat up by the jail guards. That pissed the feds off. That's how the whole investigation started, with the DOJ, who went in there to enforce Mike Schmidt or whoever. I think Mike Schmidt was still the DA, to charge the corrections officers with assault, and then the other ones with neglect. And one of the deaths, they were convicted.
Can you just clarify quick, is the case around the alarm, is that still open?
Yes, what I'm going to be going on trial for, and explaining to a jury that I was just trying to get justice for crimes committed against me, and I was just trying to save someone's life in the jail.
Was something happening at that moment?
No,
Was it
just me playing it over and over in my head. I could hear them scream a lot sometimes, depending on what unit I was in. Because fentanyl withdrawal is like a monster. It's not like, or at least it doesn't, it sounds, even just sound, the way it sounds, different than just the normal heroin suffering withdrawal. It sounds a lot worse. And so I would, like some, before, I've done pretty well dealing with it now, because I know I have to talk about it no matter what. But at that time, I sometimes would hear, could hear that noise.
regarding the jail danger, you're kind of referring to the overall effects of both of like
Yeah, they were putting people mentally ill, that who knew they were mentally ill, in isolation cells with extra things they could use to unalive themselves. Like, usually they're supposed to take your shoelaces, stuff like that. If they don't take your shoelaces, for some people, it makes it a lot easier for them to do what they're going to do. They're doing stuff like that on purpose, which I found shocking. I don't know if it was out of ignorance and neglect, or if it was on purpose, but it was an extremely dangerous thing to be doing.
you have the couple of cases open right now. Do you have what sort of support do you have from the community around those?
Just recently, I started getting really good support, but I still had to put lawyers on my credit card, because Multnomah County, to stick it to me even further, denied me a public defender because I had gotten a $5,000 check from the city for what they did to me in 2018, that attack they did to me. So, but that money disgusted me, so I didn't touch it. It just stayed in my account. Because I didn't pay the bills, I had bills worth more than that, but I was dragging my feet on getting rid of that money, and they held that against me and denied me a court-appointed attorney, even though I'm on a fixed income as a disabled veteran, and that's all I have.
So the
So it's that part's been the hardest.
curious about it, were they citing that as like an asset or something?
And
Wow.
then I think later, because there are some times like I've been so upset and just don't care anymore, that I will just not follow the court rules and just say what, like, I got dragged out of court. When I found out they were charging me for the kidnapping is wrong chalk, I flipped out in court and had to be dragged out. And then they just put down in the records I didn't show up to court. Like, if you don't follow all the court's rules, they just write you down as you didn't show up, and you get a warrant for your arrest.
Is there anything you would like to add about your experience in Portland that you'd like to say?
I'm just one example, and my example isn't even as bad as it is. It's not as bad as it gets. And I just really wish that people who say they care about human rights cared about human rights in their own jail. They'll march around Portland for human rights 5,000 miles away, but they don't even know what's going on in their jail. And it's not just wrong, it's unlawful. I just wish people would pay attention, because anyone in Multnomah County has the right to go ask for a tour through the jail so they can see for themselves. And a lot of times, believe it or not, that actually helps because, you know, they have to be on their best behavior and they have to clean this and clean that. And so it actually is helpful if people do that, if people exercise that right and say, I heard, you know, we've had a lot of deaths in the jail in 2023. I'd like to see, you know, what you're doing to change, you know, blah, 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 just whatever as a concerned citizen, because it's some of it is so easy to correct, and all it needs is a few powerful voices to stick up for what's going on in the jail and what goes on against protesters, the targeting of protesters. I mean, doesn't anyone wonder? And maybe, you know, maybe a lot of Portland, they like this, but they pretty much killed the anarchist spirit in Portland. And guess how they did it? It wasn't through legal means. It was through a lot of abuse and a lot of torture and a lot of mistreatment, a lot of false charges.
I know you mentioned that under the new sheriff, you've seen the jail get a little bit better. But I mean, taking into account, that Nate Vasquez is now the DA and there's a lot more calls for increased arrests and police officers and chargeable misdemeanors and felonies around possession. Do you see it continuing to get better or?
No, it just gets worse. It gets much worse because the worst place you could put somebody severely mentally ill going through withdrawal is jail. I mean, I've seen so many people in there that really, like, obviously needed to be in a hospital. And the, you know, having this idea, we're just going to put them in jail and teach them what they need to learn or whatever. We don't have the same rights as a dog in the dog pound in there. Like, it would be safer to go lock them in the dog pound because they're going to get water there. There's people who die in our jails from no water. I mean, really, we're going to, you're such an annoying nuisance on our streets that we're just going to stick you in a box and then not give you water until you're out of our life anymore. Like, it would be more humane to like make put suicide booths everywhere. It would be more humane to do that than to what they are doing to people in the jail is unbelievable. And there's no medical. Like, I used to get medical when I would get arrested and I would go to jail. I would get medical. Now I don't get that. I don't get any meds or anything, even though they have them all on my list because they're the VA and the jail have their computers interlinked or whatever, because there's so many veterans that end up in jail from their mental problems. But yeah, they're so no medication, no, which is dangerous for people with heart disease and high blood pressure. I mean, that's why people are young people are dying in our in the jail too, is because there's their medical symptoms are just being ignored.
And you mentioned a bit about the people's ability to take tours of the jail. What are some things that people can do to improve what's happening, if anything?
I mean, taking the tour is like something pretty simple that you could do. And like the higher your social status is, the better it's going to be for you to take tours through there. And I don't know what else. I mean, there needs to be some kind of jail support. Like, since I've gone in and out of the jail so many times, I've seen so many things that are so dangerous. Like, I've seen them dump a guy in a wheelchair out into freezing cold, an elderly disabled guy. I've seen like really cognitively impaired young people come out of jail that could get a predator could get really easy, you know? There needs to be some, there's so many people that want to really, when they get out of jail, they really do want to do good. They really want to stay sober. Like they finally made it through withdrawal. They want to make a better turn. But then they get out of jail and all that's there are drug dealers. There's no one there saying, hey, you want to go to a clean and sober house? Do you want to try this? Do you want to try that? There's nothing like that. It's all straight back into the fentanyl field. They don't, there's no help to get you from point A to point B. And if your brain isn't as good as everyone else's, you know, that step from getting out of jail to the clean and sober house or to a treatment program is a very difficult one to make.
Thank you so much for talking to me today.
Yeah. Thank
It's
you.